The one study that did enroll EGFR in ALK patients was the IMpower150 study. And, this has gotten a lot of conversation in settings like this about because in that study, it did show that among the EGFR and ALK group, a little over 100 patients, that there was an improvement with the addition of atezolizumab to the carboplatin paclitaxel bevacizumab backbone in that study. It was mainly driven by the EGFR subgroup. And I think for many of us, haven't really adopted that as a strategy right now, but it's worth the conversation.
We actually saw a fair amount of use of that regimen in our survey. Jeff, in general, where, if at all, are you cycling in checkpoint inhibitors in patients, let's say with EGFR, but also with some of these others?
I want to echo Justin's point. The way I think about PD-L1 in these patients is it's a false positive, right? If you see PD-L1 90% in EGFR ALK, it's not a true positive. That's not a genetically immune interesting tumor. And we have to think of it like that. Sometimes these PD-L1s can be trusted and sometimes not. And so when I get to second line and I haven't found a resistance mutation I can target, my backbone is chemo. And what I find is that sometimes to chemo, I add osimertinib if I need CNS control. Sometimes I've added bevacizumab if I need a dramatic response. And it's true, sometimes I've added immunotherapy if it's a patient where they have a smoking history and PD-L1 expression, and I think it's less likely to be a false positive, and maybe it's actually an immune interesting cancer, even though it's an EGFR or ALK, but it's not routinely. And I have patients where years in, immunotherapy still has not become interesting enough for it to be an important part of their treatment. And then I say, look, I hope there's a cool trial of an immunotherapy for someone like you sometime, but I haven't seen that data yet. I agree with Dr. Gaynor that the data from the carboplatin bev-atezo study was really pretty marginal, really a potpourri of weird EGFR mutations. It was a sort of post hoc analysis that I don't fully trust for my patients.
Heather?
Yeah, so I wanted to add a little bit to that. I think as we talk about the IMpower150 regimen, we have to also remember there was a fairly parallel study, the IMpower130, which was carboplatin, taxane, plus or minus atezolizumab without Bev. And that's the only other large randomized phase 3 trial that included some of the EGFR patients. I don't think that was much ALK. And that one showed no benefit at all. And so we have to be careful in looking across those two studies. Was the IMpower150 truly positive and was the Bev the reason, or is it just these are subsets of two studies and it's by chance? So there are ongoing trials trying to answer that more, but I'm pretty cautious about using immune therapy with chemo in my EGFR patients.